A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy, eagerly awaiting the second part of this so I can more thoroughly theorize everything after today and last week's episode.
Well, it's not really a second part, it's just another case. It's not like...
Well, I understand that, but I know we left off before... And at least I felt, knowing that there would be another case, like I couldn't fully explore the theories without knowing the rest. Or not even the rest, but just a possible addition. It could change everything for me.
So I would not say this is like the Jeremy Burt and Aaron Bernard cases, where they were very clearly linked. And if you didn't listen to them, that's 76 and 78. But I would say that it's more like the people of Boston, which is a Patreon bonus. If they're missing in the same demographic, in the same area, we need to have that conversation.
All right.
So today we're going to talk about Veronica Reyes Diaz. And as with any newer missing persons case, this is in 2020, you don't get like... their whole childhood, and there aren't the documentaries and all of that, right?
Correct.
All I can tell you is that she was close to her dad. Her dad said that she loved being a mom. She constantly sent him pictures of her kids. She was married, 23 years old when she went missing, and had three children. Now, I do want to say that she was in a healthy relationship. And the reason that this is important is because her first two children are not from her husband. And that makes no difference to me, because the next thing I'm going to tell you is that they had court planned for the end of January of 2020 for her husband to legally adopt her two children.
Okay.
I can't speak to like their relationship, but to me that speaks in itself.
Yeah, you're in it for the long haul as a family.
Right. And the fact that they had one child together and then he was going to adopt her other two, I think just shows where they were at in their relationship.
Right off the bat, yeah, I can assume that.
So she was born in 1996 in June. And we're going to go right to January of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica had made the decision to go out that evening, and she told her husband that she was going to take her two oldest to, I've heard it reported as her sister and her sister-in-law's. I don't think that makes a difference. She was taking them to their aunt's house to watch them. The youngest was staying home with the husband.
Right.
She basically, her friend, now again, this is one of those things. And I don't think either of these are important, but I'm going to tell you both. One report says a friend picked her up. The other report says she drove. Don't think it matters, because it's going to be irrelevant at some point.
Because we probably know what happened after that.
Yes. Herself, a female and a male, these are not identified as names, just friends, go to a local place. It's a bar/restaurant. Now, before that, she drops off two of her kids. Great, fantastic. They have a great evening. Her friend and her two friends, the guy and the girl, did not say anything was abnormal this evening. So this is where it gets a little bit weird, but this is why I don't think it matters. At some point, she picks up her kids at 1:10 in the morning. So either she got a ride back to her house, grabbed her car, and went and picked up her kids, or she drove herself from the bar to pick up her kids. I don't think that matters. because we know that she was driving her vehicle at 1:10 in the morning when she picks up her kids from her sister-in-law's.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right? Okay, and that's why, like, yes, maybe, sure, her friends picked her up, they dropped her back off, they didn't, and either way, she has her vehicle and she goes home.
Okay.
Now, she picks up her kids, they were sleeping, she brings them back to her house, it's about a 10-minute ride. She gets both kids inside, tucks them into bed. Both of her kids have been interviewed multiple times. They say that she basically said goodnight, love you, tucked them in.
Oh, they were awake enough to know. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. But they heard her go back outside.
Okay.
Now, the ages of these children have not been released, but I'm assuming the oldest is probably old enough to be able to, like, really give a description.
She's 23, right?
Yeah, so the oldest is, I would assume, no older than 8, but, I mean, even a 6 or 7-year-old can say, I heard the back door open.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. 8, maybe 9 is probably the extent of it, but definitely, most likely, isn't older than that.
And I would say probably older than 5. It's just my, and I don't know, they haven't released anything, I'm just guessing.
Right.
So, either way, the children say that they heard the door open and heard her go back outside. Now, I have to assume they just thought, like, she forgot something. Like, you have kids. It's easier to get them in the house and then go get whatever you need to get.
Oh, yeah. And if I'm going into my house and my kids are asleep in the car or were or whatever, I would get them in first because I don't want to leave them in my car at nighttime when they're vulnerable to bring my purse in first. Take the purse. Let me get my kids to safety is my thought.
Exactly. So we know that all happened, right? Her husband is sound asleep at this point with the youngest child in their room.
Yep.
He did not wake up when she came home.
Yeah, totally reasonable.
Yeah, nothing about that screams anything to me. He wakes up around 6:30 in the morning with the youngest, which is why I think the youngest is probably a baby.
Yeah, 2, 3, maybe.
Yeah. And Veronica is not home.
Hmm.
So he looks outside, and her car is there. So he walks out to her car, her wallet, her purse, her ID, her, like, sweater, which everyone says there are, like, 3 sweaters or shirts in the car. That is, for me, is not abnormal.
Oh, my goodness, no. Especially running around with kids. I'm leaving my whole life in my car.
It's a little bit of a to-do about, like, well, why does she have clothes in her car? That, to me, is not a red flag. If she had, like, a life, like, a week's worth, sure. But a couple shirts or sweaters, I probably have 2 sweaters in my car right now.
No, and if I'm packing to go somewhere, I don't just pack. I'm not laughing at the situation, but I'm laughing at the idea that only shirts would be something that you pack. Like, where's your pants?
Right. Okay, so that happens on January 18th, 2020. The morning is what happens. Like, all of her stuff is in the car. She's not there. I do think that her age is important at this point. Both her husband and her dad say that she has in the past stayed in a friend's house for a day or two. She's made comments, according to law enforcement, saying, like, being a mother is really tiring and sometimes I need a break, which, no judgment.
Absolutely not.
So I think that because there was a history or whatever, that they didn't, like, sound the alarms right away.
Right. I imagine they wanted to wait a few hours, see if they heard from her, something like that.
Yes. It sounds like her dad was told pretty early on, but it kind of, like, just sat.
Okay.
On Monday, so 48 hours later, they call law enforcement. And they say, this is not right. This is not okay. So law enforcement at that point pinged her phone. It was turned off that Monday morning. but it was active all weekend.
Oh boy.
That's really all law enforcement has released. Now, her dad has said some other things along the lines of, like, we weren't really worried at first. I'm going to read a direct quote. We weren't really worried at first. We thought maybe she was staying with a friend and needed some space. It happens, but not for this long, and she has never left her kids. Now, the reason I brought up the adoption thing earlier is they actually had a meeting at the courthouse that week that she totally missed. So law enforcement used that as to say, we don't think she was planning to leave, because that's a pretty big step, and to miss that is a big deal.
Right.
But I will read you another direct quote. We really don't know what happened between the 1:10 and that 6:30 time frame. Her husband woke up in the morning and realizes the car is there, but she is not. That's a little weird, but not weird so much as she's not there. But if she wasn't there, he wouldn't expect to see the car there. But, you know, maybe she stayed with friends or something like that. But that wasn't the case. So they've narrowed it down to the 1:10 to 6:30 a.m. And they say 1:10 because they know what time she left her sister or sister-in-law's. And they know how long the drive is, and the kids were home in bed.
Right.
And the kids didn't say they went anywhere else.
And that data should, I think, can be available on, like, iPhone trackers.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know how to go back. I mean, I'm sure law enforcement can. But
yeah.
It pinged in the area is all they're saying. Law enforcement is saying they need something. They have nothing to go on right now. But they don't think that it is, there's no reason to believe it's foul play, but they don't think she left voluntarily.
My first thought about all of this is she arrives at home, which leads me to believe it's in some type of residential area.
Yes.
This is 2020, right?
Yes.
Did they, or should they, or can they look at anyone in the area that might have a Ring doorbell or the equivalent?
They did. And all they will say is they have video evidence that she did go home.
That's very curious to me, because even if they don't have footage of being right in front of her home or apartment, do they have footage of any car going down the street between 1:10 and the 6 a.m.? Now, I actually believe that in all likelihood, if something were to happen against her will, it would have happened when she walked outside the house.
Oh, for sure. But here's the thing.
Well, hang on. Like, was there any indication that there were any other cars going down the street at that period of time?
I was just going to say, this is the thing. Okay. This is one of those cases that the sheriff's office of the podcast on, right? And they do a really good job, obviously, of, like, breaking it down and saying, okay, you know, this is XYZ that we have. They do not mention surveillance at all. And there's an article that mentions it and says that there's Ring's footage of her car going home. But so then I was like, okay, give me that. Because you, this is more to the audience, so you understand. Like, when we don't have a whole lot, we try to dive into each little fact that we do have. Like, this isn't a case like the Springfield 3 where I was like, what can I cut out? Because I have 27 pages of native information.
True.
There's 3 paragraphs in every article that's the same information. So when I saw there was Ring footage, I was like, well, show me all of it. Nothing. Nothing.
Mm. If I'm making any connection with the last case and the Reddit series that wondered if this was someone posing as law enforcement or something, I would think that through checking surveillance footage on the street the night of her disappearance, a car resembling anything like a police car would stand out.
So I have 2 things to say to that.
Okay.
Number 1, I have a Ring camera. My Ring camera catches some cars, but not others. Because it's far from the street, if the light hits it just right, it'll say, like, oh, you have motion at your front door. And it'll be a car on the street or a big truck. But I know it's not every single one.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, second of all, I will now link the cases in two ways. One, her sister-in-law, or sister, that was watching the kids, lived in Plant City, where she picked them up. That's where Kaya went missing from.
Okay.
Her home in Dover is about 7 miles or 15 minutes from Plant City. Now, the family, and I'm going to read you this quote too from the family. The Assistant Chief Communications Officer, Amanda Granite, said this case is being actively investigated and Veronica is not considered endangered and there are no signs of foul play at this time. However, this is what her dad says. There's a big problem with sex trafficking in this area, and I'm worried that someone grabbed her that night. It is not known if the two disappearances are connected, referring to Kaya's, but Veronica's dad says he looks into every possibility. As far as he knows, the two women do not know each other, but they have discovered they had multiple acquaintances. Every time there is a search done by either family, they're searching for both women.
Okay. The statements that say so much and so little at once.
Now, I know, right? That's all we have. And it's so frustrating because I have so many questions. And like the Sheriff's Office podcast about this episode is 12 minutes long. Thanks.
In my opinion, like, she didn't go outside to meet someone. She could have, but if you brought your kids in the house and you have your valuables in the car, you're going to probably, even if the person was waiting on the side of the street to talk to her, you're going to say, let me grab my purse or let me run it inside and then I'll come talk to you. Also, if you're going to plan on leaving, you're going to run that stuff inside or bring it with you too. I think that she was approached for discussion and taken, or surprise attacked and taken.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're getting home at 1 something in the morning and a car approaches you, are you going to stop?
Not unless you know them.
Okay, because I'm going to call my husband and be like, you need to come outside right now and walk me in the house because there's someone here.
Or run inside as fast as you can.
Right. Well, you have 2 little kids.
Right.
How fast are you running? So that to me either says, A, they weren't there when she got home the first time.
Yes.
B, she knew them. Or C, it was law enforcement. Or posing as law enforcement. Sorry.
Or this has kind of like Lindsay Buziak tones to it.
Oh, gosh.
But someone was waiting, someone parked down the street and was lying in wait and surprised her.
But they had to have known that she would come back outside. Because if they were there, they let her bring her kids in and tuck them in.
That's true. And we're betting really high on them thinking, I'll just wait around for a potential opportunity.
Right. Which to me is not as likely.
Correct. But even if it was law enforcement, you're making the same bet, right? That she's going to come back out.
You mean someone posing as law enforcement?
Correct. Yes. I apologize and I want to make a clear distinction about that.
My only thing with that is that's someone that, let's say she had, and this is total speculation. Let's say she had had a few drinks while they were out.
Sure.
Fake law enforcement pulls up behind her and says, hey, can you chat for a second? She says, can I bring my sleeping kids inside? I'll come right back out. That's someone that you would say, sure. And that would be, I could see a parent doing that. Like, I think of, my sister-in-law who has 2 little kids, right? If a police officer pulled her over and the kids were sleeping and she was like, can I run them in and then I'll come chat with you on the porch or whatever? I could see that being a reasonable a legitimate law enforcement officer is going to say no. Because they don't know if she has weapons in the house. They don't know, you know what I mean, what the situation would be. But an illegitimate law enforcement officer may let her do that.
Maybe. And if I guess, like, if I feel maybe about that, then am I landing on it's someone that either she knew or had been watching? I don't even know. It escapes me why I landed there just now. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I need a whiteboard to write this all out. This person's betting on a lot from her for this all to work out without harming children.
So I do want to say, on Monday, October 18th, 2021, okay, they did a what they called Operation Roundup in Hillsborough County, which is the county that both these women are from. And they arrested 125 men on a human trafficking operation.
Oh, for no. That is disgusting. But thank goodness.
Now, most of them were little kids. Not little, like 14, 15, which I still think is like a baby.
Tragic.
But where does that leave that in the picture of...
Oh my gosh, well... They move people.
These two cases.
They move their victims around all the time. And I think it's a strategy so that if they are recognizable, you can never make a link.
Okay. So let's talk about it in relationship to Veronica and then for Kaya.
Listen, now that you mentioned sex trafficking, though, I feel like we could be onto something. The condition of women being by their cars. Take Phoenix, whose car was abandoned in the middle of the street with the door wide open, right?
Yeah.
Who, one of our theories is sex trafficking.
Yes.
Then we have Kaya, and now this case, right?
Yes, but I'm at, but like.
And we're assuming that the kids mattered at all. What if this person just got lucky?
What do you mean?
Like they spotted her in a vehicle. They didn't see children in the back seat, followed her home. And the timing just lined up that she came back out to her car.
Like they were going to stalk her and then she popped back out?
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay, but how do you get Kaya to pull over then?
Well, maybe it can be both. Impersonating law enforcement and being a sex trafficker.
Okay, but have we landed on they're definitely connected?
No, but I am pointing to an eerie trend of taking advantage of women in vulnerable situations, perhaps that being women driving alone, maybe don't have their defenses up. I don't know if that's fair to say, but when you're transitioning between your car and your home or your place of employment, maybe you don't have the wherewithal and other people with you. I don't know. Ugh. And Veronica's 23. We know Phoenix was around that age. And let's...
Kaya's a little older.
How old?
Kaya was 28. But they both are at least partially biracial or minority.
And now I want to go back to every case where at least I or we have suspected sex trafficking and look at the circumstances again.
Does it change... Does it spark anything in you that they have mutual acquaintances?
I guess I would wonder how big the communities are. If me and someone a town or two over from myself were to go missing and we had mutual acquaintances, I don't know that it would be that unusual because I'm surrounded by several small towns. But if it was between two big cities...
So, I will tell you, Plant City is 3.5 of your town.
Okay.
And Dover is 1/4 of your town.
Oh, then I think that might have a lot to do with...
But Plant City is 40,000 people, whereas your town's around 14,000.
Well, I don't... What do you think? I'm blabbering like... an idiot.
I'd like to know the, and this is going to sound like it's judgment, and it's not, right? Like, I'd like to know, we know that Kaya had experimented or done or been involved in drugs, right?
Okay.
There's nothing about that from Veronica. But I'd like to know where the overlap of acquaintances is. Is it in the drug use, rough and tumble kind of crowd world? Or is it their kids go to the same swim class? Because that, for me, is very different. If it's their kids go to the same swim, and obviously this whole thing is a speculation, right? But if it's their kids have the same dance teacher or athletic coach and they know the same moms, well, that to me says nothing. Like, I don't, it rests less of a red flag. If the acquaintances are the ones that are using or going to jail or doing that, well, that raises my spidey sense a little bit.
Fair.
So I just said nothing, basically.
Oh, I'm trying to even just forget about possible links for a moment.
Okay.
And just try to understand how this happened. I don't think she walked away.
No. If she did, why didn't she stay in her car? And, like, if she did, she also is really ballsy in assuming that her husband's not going to wake up when she got home with the kids. Because think about it. Let's say you get your kid...
Right.
Let's say you get...
Very bold.
Picture your kids 6 years ago. And your partner is sleeping, and it's 1 a.m, and you have both your kids, and they're half asleep. There's a chance they're going to wake up when they get in the house and be obnoxious. Right?
Yeah, and it's a flip of a coin whether he would be awake or not.
Right, and if he's sleeping, let's say, is there a chance that your kids may wake him when they get in the house if they get a little rambunctious?
Exactly.
So to think that, like, that's when she's going to leave her life is a little bit... She's counting on a lot.
Yeah, I think she probably, like, slipped her phone in her back pocket, getting out of the car, then reached back for her kids to grab them. And the phone's in her back pocket, so she doesn't have to carry it.
And then, right.
That's why the phone was with her and all of her stuff was left in the car.
Okay, then how do you explain the phone pinging all weekend?
Where was it pinging again?
There's no information of that. All that they will say is it's active all weekend, and then it goes off Monday morning.
My only... I would think that the person that, if they abducted her, just didn't realize the phone wasn't on her because they caught her off guard while all her stuff was in the car. But people tried calling her.
Yeah, but if it was on silent.
True. So maybe in that person that potentially abducted her didn't even realize the phone was there until Monday.
Or it just died. But then was she alive all weekend? And is she still?
What if they left her wherever she was with the phone and then it just died?
But it moved around that weekend. I have to assume, and this is an assumption.
A lot of this is an assumption.
Right. Fair. I think this is the case where we know nothing. We know the least. But if the phone stayed in one place for the majority of the time, law enforcement would have already gone there. So my assumption is the phone moved around. And I mean, Plant City and Dover are a... It's funny because we drive through them when we drive from Orlando to Tampa.
Yeah.
So I know it's right off 4. So my assumption is if it was pinging over and over again in the Walmart parking lot, law enforcement would go there, right?
Yeah.
So I have to assume that it wasn't in the same place between 6:30 Saturday morning and 6:30 Monday morning or whenever it went off.
Here's all I can say to you.
Hold on. But if she was in possession of it, does that mean the person kidnapped her and didn't take her phone away?
Sounds like a... I don't know.
And if that, if we say no to that, right, like they didn't take her and let her have her phone, does that mean she was somewhere voluntarily?
All right, so.
You guys can't see Amy, but she has her head in her hands.
Here's where I land, and it is my worst theorizing yet to date, I think.
Oh, good, 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 guys. At least we're prefacing it with this is the worst.
This case and this case with Veronica and the case with Kaya, I can say that I feel as if it's foul play. And that's it. Like, I've got nothing else.
I thought you were going to give us this big, long explanation, and you come back with, I feel this is foul play.
I don't feel like there's any good information that points anywhere else other than a general foul play. Was it someone that knew her or them?
Well, I'll tell you this. Police have said there's no evidence of foul play in either case.
So if we had them speaking right now, they would say the same thing, except the opposite.
Someday we will do a live episode and you will see Amy's reactions. So the detective says, they asked him, I'm going to read this on the podcast, are there any viable leads at this point? Detective, unfortunately, no. I mean, we are tracking down everything we can. We get little pieces of information that comes to us constantly. We have flooded social media. We've gotten a couple of sightings. We followed up on those. But ultimately, they planned out to be someone else. Like, oh yeah, I think Veronica was at the Circle K. And then we watched 10 hours of Circle K video and, oh, that's not her. We've done searches. We've done foot patrol.
If I hear anything about a Circle K for as long as this podcast goes on.
We've done multiple searches. We've done foot patrol. We've had horseback. We've had our SRT team out there. We're on four-wheelers. And just so you know, SRT is like a security, whatever. We have four-wheelers. We have multiple searches of the area. And then her dad chimes in a different interview that's basically like, and we've searched for Kaya also. So you have to keep in mind, like, they may be searching in different areas, but there has to be overlap.
I'm so frustrated. I would rather have a whole bunch of evidence that I can't piece together than to have nothing.
I think that's how law enforcement feels too.
I know. I'm full of just ridiculous things that I'm saying today.
And I think it's frustrating that we have talked for 40 minutes or so, and we're not any closer to saying, yes, they're related, or no, they're not related. Like, I think our best theories are sex trafficking and a... And by the way, the fake police officer thing came from a Reddit thread. So it's not like anyone has issued any sort of, like, anything. I think that we have just realized that could be feasible. However, my only hiccup with both of those, and my only hiccup with foul play for Veronica, is if she had her phone the whole weekend, how does that make sense?
This sounds very movie-esque. And I get that. But what if someone disposed of the phone in some type of moving vehicle, like a garbage truck? Or, I don't know, it's left in an Uber.
In a bus, if you will?
Something like that.
Yeah, well, it has to be something that doesn't stop moving. Because I have to think that law enforcement, if it was in any place for any period of time, has gone there. So if it's in, like, the bus yard, for example.
Correct, yeah. Unless, you know, they're finding out the cell phone data after the fact. So they can't just go somewhere if the phone never actually... I don't know. I quit, Melissa. I'm done.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with cell phone pings, it's not like find your iPhone, right? I'm sure they can get the find the iPhone thing. But my question is, let's say it's pinging off tower 12345. And that gives you, like, a 3-mile radius. If it stays there for days, I think law enforcement has to say, okay, well, it's been there for a long time. Let's go look.
I can't explain that. Oh, I can't.
I can't either. And I apologize. I misspoke. The evening of Monday, it had been turned off while the battery died. So from early morning hours of Saturday through Monday, her phone was on and then died, which leads me to believe it was not being used. Because if share phones was being used on that long without being charged, I'd like to know what phone it is because I need it.
Could it be that she's with a captor? He's holding the phone with her and they're constantly on the move, being moved from place to place?
Anything is possible.
I know.
You act like I know the answer.
Or I don't know. I know. I'm so sorry. I guess I'm going to stutter for another 20 minutes if we just don't open this up.
I feel the same way and I'm so frustrated.
So, yeah. Please tell us what you think. First of all, there's a number of ways you can go about this. Do you have any theories about what happened to Veronica? Do you have any theories if this case and the case of Kaya are related? If so, how? If not, what happened to Kaya? And obviously that is what we talked about last episode, but now that you have more information, does that change anything for you? So there's a lot of questions that we're asking you guys, our audience, to answer.
Basically, we know nothing.
In conclusion, we know nothing. The end.
And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.